We are extremely delighted to have these young people that our bus teams go and they visit their homes and they bring them to the house of God on a Sunday morning. We had two in the altar this morning. One of our brothers is his first time here, and he's demonstrating great courage to step out and to seek God in what to him is a strange place. And we're actually stranger than you think, but you'll get to know us. But he's pressing into the presence of God. I want to tell you, what you're doing here, what you're doing as you praise God and as you worship God and as you touch him, I know you felt his presence today. And that is a longer journey for you than that bus ride from Moody. That's just the beginning to get you in the house. But the real journey starts right here in this altar where you were. And the word of God starts moving in your heart. A journey to a fulfilled life, a journey to life and that more abundantly, a journey to all the vast potential of what God has for you. God sees you in greatness. God sees you as a person that you can only imagine. God sees you whole and completed, and he wants to bring you to the fulfillment of that. That journey starts right here in this altar. And we're with you, man. We're praying with you. We're just so thrilled that you're here. And all of you guys, we're delighted that you're here. We have a couple of rows of Long Islanders here today. We have Brother Jim and Sister Tiz and Brother Sister Tanya's family here today. We're going to have a baby dedication, and we're going to dedicate one of Giovanni and Casey's little ones, their littlest one. So he's Giovanni also. And then Tiz and James, we're going to dedicate Olivia. And she's so big in her bonnet and her long dress and everything. But we have grandparents here and aunts and uncles and cousins. And we're just thrilled to have all of you here this morning. Now, what we're going to do, we're going to have church. We have a very special guest. Brother Nathaniel Urshan is with us. And we're thrilled to have him here. And he is one of our very favorite preachers. And we love preachers, but we love him, his family, and we hope that they will soon be neighbors of ours over in Mississippi. And that looks like that's going to happen perhaps this month. But we're so thrilled that they're here. But here's the game plan. Here's what we're going to do. He's going to preach. We've already worshiped and prayed, and the flow of the Spirit is here. God is moving in the house. And so everything is possible. Anything is possible in the presence of God. And when he begins to preach, the word of God is going to go forth and it's going to manifest. It'll take root in hearts. It'll begin to change and uproot and overturn. And who knows where the word of God will take us today. And then we'll have an altar service and people will be filled with the Holy Ghost, baptized in Jesus' name. Folks will embark on journeys in the kingdom of God. And there's no telling what kind of manifestation we'll have in the altar. But after the dust settles and folks quit twitching and talking in tongues, and after the dust settles, then we're going to call these families down and we're going to have baby dedications. And so it's just going to be a wonderful, wonderful morning. I appreciate everyone that's been praying and worshiping. I love and appreciate our praise group. What a wonderful job they do bringing us, ushering us into the presence of God. And so, Brother Urshan, we are delighted that you are here. And we want you to come and take your liberty. I think this is his first time in this house with us. And we're so glad that you're here. Make yourself at home and just tell us what the Holy Ghost has said.
Let's continue to clap our hands unto the Lord and give him praise. Can we do that? Oh, somebody help me lift up the name of Jesus just a little bit higher. Can you do it on a Sunday morning just a little bit higher? Hey, yeah, yes, yes, Lord. Oh, blessed be the name, blessed be the name, blessed be the name of Jesus. Well, well, well. We love you, Jesus. We love you, Jesus. We love you, Jesus. Praise God. Can we lift our hands and just entertain the Spirit of God that's here? What a beautiful presence of God is in this house. Ah, we love you, Jesus. We worship you, Jesus. Bless the Lord. Oh, my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus, for your presence, for your spirit. Amen. You can find a seat in close. Stand with me. What a wonderful, not sit, stand. Stand with me. Amen. What a wonderful, wonderful opportunity it is to be with the precious saints of God at New Life here in Birmingham. How many like what you feel today? Well, that's about half of us. How about the rest of you? How many can say, man, I'm glad I went to the house of God today? Hey, glory to God. Amen. God is good. Amen. Amen. And the worship and the liberty that's here, this is how it's supposed to be. After about 1,800 years of tradition that says you got to be quiet and you got to settle down, in the ancient times, they got it backwards, and they took some Old Testament stuff and they brought it into the New Testament, and they waved incense around in the room so that smoke would fill the room, and they called that worship, and it was chanting, and it was formalized and ritualized, and worst of all, it was dead. God's not interested in incense that comes out of some little box and fills the room. That incense goes up and into the air-conditioned ducts, and the filter catches it, and it doesn't do anything. It might go up 50 feet in the air and dissipate, and it doesn't do anything. But there is an incense that we have right now that has nothing to do with physical smoke, but it has everything to do with spiritual smoke. When you start saying, hallelujah, hallelujah, thank you, Jesus, glory to God. That incense goes all the way up, past the moon, past the stars, past the Milky Way, into the Holy of Holies, into the... Woo! Anybody got some incense to give to Jesus today? And say, blessed be the name of the Lord. He's worthy, he's worthy, he's worthy to be praised. Let it fill the room. Let it saturate the atmosphere. And that's what God responds to. That's what God puts his favor on. Ah, thank you, Jesus. You can keep your smoke. Just give me a hallelujah. Praise God, praise God. Y'all got me preaching before I'm preaching. Amen. It is my first time to be here in the new building, and what a miracle. What a miracle. I drove around it with Pastor Sutton the last time I was here. I think it was last August, if I'm remembering right. And he was telling me, we're believing God. That wasn't even a year ago. We're believing God. God can do it. We think this, and we hope this. And now, less than a year later, it's not believing and hoping. It's here. What we were doing back then was the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. But what we're in now, this is the substance. And now I'm seeing it, and I'm touching it, and I'm feeling it, and I'm... Oh, glory to God. Faith. Amen. Amen. And it's an honor to be with you. I know there's a lot to get accomplished here. So let's jump right into the word of the Lord. I want to give honor to Pastor Sutton and to his precious family. What a beautiful anointing is upon them, this great ministry team and worship team and the great saints of New Life. God bless you this morning. It's great to be back with you. If you have your Bibles, open them to Ecclesiastes chapter 11. Ecclesiastes chapter 11. And I'm going to read verse 1. Ecclesiastes chapter 11 and verse 1. It's familiar to many. And this is what it says. Cast thy bread upon the waters, for thou shalt find it after many days. Cast thy bread upon the waters, thou shalt find it after many days. I want to preach to you for a couple of minutes tonight about the power of speaking out. When everybody thinks you're crazy, speak it anyway. When everybody thinks you lost your mind and you're wasting your time, speak it anyway. It's a language of faith. And I want to preach to you this morning a simple subject. It is bread. It is bread. Look at the person next to you. Tell them, it might not look like it right now, but I'm telling you, it's bread. Amen. Amen. God bless you. You can be seated. I can remember reading the Bible as a child, and I can remember not understanding what in the world I was reading. I was young. I hadn't been introduced to the poetic nature of the Word of God, and I didn't know what a metaphor was. All I knew was how to turn pages and read words. And so there were things that didn't make sense to me. Well, one of the things that did not make sense was, it seemed like there was a bunch of bad kids running around the Old Testament. Bad kids, little delinquents. And they were always making God mad. God was always mad about them. There was this word that they used. The word was wrath. I didn't know what that was, but I was pretty sure it was bad. God was wroth with these bad kids because I kept reading about the children of Israel. The children of Israel. Where's their parents at? Why isn't anybody watching these kids? Why do you just let them run around crazy? The children of Israel. It wasn't until I got a little older that was actually God's people, and they were adults, but they just called them children of Israel. And then I read the Song of Solomon. Don't get me started on that. There was some crazy stuff in the Song of Solomon. There was stuff in the Song of Solomon that when I read it, I wasn't sure I was allowed to say those things. And I was 8, 9, and 10 years old, and we would elbow each other, and we'd giggle and we'd laugh and we'd point. And I think that might be a bad word. I'm not sure. I tried to make sense out of it. And it wasn't until I got a little older, and it wasn't until I became a married man, I fell in love with a woman, that I realized that God was using the most intimate human relationship to describe how much he loves us. And if you can understand how a man loves a woman, then you can understand how Jesus loves his church. Aren't you glad he loves you this morning? Aren't you glad that he's here this morning? And I'm going to describe it by using a human relationship, and I'm going to use the language of love. And as a woman would love her husband, as a husband would love his wife, that's how the church loves Jesus. Amen. We're not here on a Sunday morning just to go through a sterile, dry, formal ceremony and then leave in 45 minutes, thankful we finally got out of there. That's not why we're here, but we're married to Jesus Christ. We have his name, the name of Jesus. And ladies and gentlemen, there's power in the name of Jesus. And if you don't know there's power in the name of Jesus, stick around a little while and you'll find out there's power, power, wonder-working power in the blood and in the name of Jesus. And we'll baptize you in the name of Jesus. And you can be filled with the Holy Ghost. And you'll find out this is not a ritual. This thing is real. How many know it's real? I'm not trying to get out of here. I'm trying to get in here. I'm standing at the door saying, when are they going to open up? There's power in that house. There's anointing in that house. Amen. So I didn't know a lot of those things. And this verse is one of those verses. This one we just read. Cast thy bread upon the waters. I had no context. I had no frame of reference. So the only bread I knew about was white bread. A little Wonder Bread. It came in a little bag. Had little blue circles on it. Little red circles. Anybody here ever have Wonder Bread before? We'd make sandwiches out of Wonder Bread. We'd take a slice of Wonder Bread and smash it into a ball and eat it. And that made it better. And none of y'all ever did that. But we did that when I grew up. We cut holes in it and that made it better. We had Wonder Bread. So in my little 10-year-old mind, I had this image of me walking down to the ocean with a little loaf of bread under my arm and take them little white slices out like little frisbees. Cast it on the water. Got one over here, got one over there, just little square white slices of bread floating on the waves. And something about that Jesus liked. Okay. Well, all right, God, I cast my bread on the water. And it's supposed to come back. I don't need soggy bread. You need soggy bread? What the big deal is about coming back is, I don't know what that is either. I was trying to figure out, what am I reading? Until I found out what the rabbi said. And the rabbi said this. They said, this is actually the merchant man. This is actually the farmer. Or what the Bible would call the husbandman, the keeper of the ground. And he's going down to the seaside. And there's a port. And there's a ship waiting. And there's men loading and unloading. And what he's doing is he's taking his product, his grain, his barley, his wheat, his corn, whatever it is, he's taking his raw materials and he's taking them down to the seaside. And there he loads it onto that boat. And the boat is shipped across the harbor to the processor. And there they beat the wheat and they thresh the wheat. Y'all didn't think Wonder Bread just grew on a tree, did you? No, they thresh it and they separate the wheat from the chaff. And the wheat falls and the chaff blows away. And they pound it. They pulverize it. They make it into a powder. And then they put it together into a mixture. And then they bake it. And when it's all done, it's bread. And then they ship it back. And when it comes back over the horizon and the ship comes back into the port, it has returned after many days. And it's interesting that the way the Bible describes it is, it doesn't say cast your wheat upon the water, but it says cast your bread upon the water. And that's what I want to try to grab a hold of here this morning, because what they were doing was, I'm calling it what it's going to be. I'm not defining it by what it is right now. I'm not discouraged by what it is right now. It might not look like much to you. Oh, but I'm looking through the eyes of faith. And I'm not looking at the present impossibility, but I'm looking at the day that it's going to come back, and I'm calling it what it's going to be by the help of Almighty God. It is bread. It is bread. It is bread. It is bread. Somebody needs to speak some things this morning right now. It's not here yet. You haven't got there yet. You hope it happens, but you need to start talking about it like it has already happened. You need to start speaking it in faith. You need to start calling it in the name of Jesus. This is the will of God. I can see it coming back. And in the name of Jesus Christ, it is bread. Amen. There's power in that kind of talk. That's what we're doing here right now. Amen. There's people here right now that are all messed up. Anybody, any perfect people here? I need to talk to you after church. You'll be the first one I've ever met. Messed up people here. I'm preaching to folks with problems. And you have the raw materials of things that are good, but the finished product's not here yet. You're struggling, and you're here at church, and you're hoping that you have an answer from God. Amen. I'm going to tell you, don't wait until you think you are where you need to get to. Start saying it now. Don't speak the language of defeat. Speak the language of faith. I'm not going to backslide. God is great, and he's greatly to be praised. I'm not going to give up. My God is able. My God is... Honey, I know things are bad, but we're going to get through this in the name of Jesus Christ. So get the kids dressed. Get us to the house of God. Get in that car. I'm not staying home. It's time to go to church. And I'm going to praise him like I'm already healed. I'm going to praise him like I've already got my financial blessing. I'm going to praise him like my family's already saved. I'm going to praise him like, hey, you got to call it bread before it is bread. Praise God. That's what people are doing right now. Man, what are you doing going to that church? You got other things you could be doing. There's nothing more important than this right here. The Bible says that God will speak those things that are not as though they are. And in some context, that just means you're crazy. But when God is in the mix, it's faith. It's faith. Hallelujah. It's important to value that. Amen. I look down here, I see these beautiful young people right here. Look at this. You guys are awesome. And you, sir, are a brave young man. Came up here, lifted your hands, and the Holy Ghost moved on you. I respect that. Amen. And you start speaking the things of God. I love you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. I don't know everything, and I'm still figuring this thing out, but glory to God. You're so good, Jesus. You're starting to start something. You're beginning something. I want to make sure I value that. I want to know how important that is. Young people are important. Children are important. Amen. And I say that because that's our harvest. That's our grain. That's our corn. That's the raw material. Amen. And we're bringing them into the kingdom of God, and we're putting them into the process. And they're not there yet, but they're gonna be. See, adults don't think like that. Adults have adult problems, and they have adult chaos, and they have all kinds of bad things that they're working through. And I don't have time to mess with that little kid stuff. And listen to me, brother, the reason you are possibly where you are right now is because you didn't get it when you were a little kid. And now you have to undo a lot of knots that the devil tied in your life. Amen. And that's great, and God's going to do it. But how about we not tie the knots in the first place? How about we put the word of God in people's hearts when they're young? Remember thy creator in the days of thy youth. Hallelujah. Praise God while you're young. Love God while you're young. Train up a child in the way that it should go. And when it is old, it will not depart from it. I believe God's raising up little apostles and little prophets and little men and women of God that are saying, I'm not there yet, but God's still working on me. Don't have it all together yet, but God is still blessing me. And I'm gonna call it what it is before it gets here. It's bread. Little children come to Jesus, and the disciples say, get away. He doesn't have time for you. He's got real problems. And Jesus says, let them come. Suffer the little children to come unto me, for of such is the kingdom of heaven. And I have news for you in all of your adult sophistication. Unless you become like one of these, you aren't getting in. God doesn't need your preconceptions, and he doesn't need the stuff that you've got accumulated and piled up. As a matter of fact, your adult mind can be a handicap to the things of God. Amen. I watch these young men and young ladies dance and worship before God. And I'm going to tell you right now, when they do that, they're unlocking something heavenly. And you can sit there with your adult mind and say, look at them. Who does that? Who? The children. Come on, come off your high horse. If you won the lottery, when that team scores the Super Bowl touchdown, or when LeBron hits that three-pointer from half court, the world goes crazy and loses their mind. Don't tell me you can't praise and you can't clap your hands and you can't shout. You're just doing it for the wrong God. You're doing it for the wrong power. Man, I'm serving Jesus Christ. I'm serving the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And don't try to stop them. That's the stuff that makes heaven real. So dance, shout, glorify God, run, leap for joy. My God, I've got the treasure hid in the field. I found the pearl of great price, and I'm going to shout unto God. Amen. Let them do that. Bible says that they wave palm branches. They wave palm branches and they shouted, Hosanna, Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. And they said, would you tell them to be quiet? And Jesus said, it's not time to be quiet. And this is the New International Urshan version. It's not time to be quiet. It's time to get loud.
Amen.
People aren't changed by dead church. People aren't changed by stiff formalism, but they are changed by a radical, fiery, anointed outpouring of the Holy Ghost. So come down off your high horse and dance before the Lord with us. Shout unto God with us. Hosanna! Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. That's how you're supposed to act in church. That's how you're supposed to worship God. Like little children. That's the raw material. And if you'll get them praising right now and loving God right now, they're not going to have to untie the nasty knots that so many wrestle with. Amen. You can be seated. Had a young lady come to church one time, and I can remember the tug of war between my adult mind and my spiritual mind, my carnal mind and my spiritual mind. She had two children. One was five, one was probably about three, and they were crazy little kids, bad little kids, into everything. I remember one time I was preaching, and we had a little church, and I was preaching, and we had this old beat-up piano over in the corner, and a little five-year-old boy ran over there right in the middle of my preaching, started plunking on that piano. I'm trying to be nice, trying to be polite, and walked over while I was preaching, just grabbed him and said, come here, little guy, it's great to see you. Come sit by mommy. Drove me crazy, and mom didn't know how to handle them. They climbed on top of her like a jungle gym. They couldn't sit still. They're everywhere. They're up and they're down and they're just all during the church. Why don't those little kids know how to act in church? And there's mom, and mom looks like she's got no sleep last night, working three jobs, trying to hold it together, and they're just running circles around mom. And there was a side of me that says, oh, man, this is difficult. You need to learn how to act in church. What's the deal? And until the Holy Ghost got a hold of me and says, you have no idea what they wrestle with at home.
And you can look at the impossibility and the difficulty of the current circumstance, and you can judge it by that, and you can act upon that, but that's not what the Bible teaches us to do. The Bible teaches us to speak in faith. You speak in faith, and you speak according to what God has ordained. That's going to be a young man of God. That's going to be a young lady of the Most High God. God is working on them. God is moving on them. Don't you judge them by what they are. I'm preaching to people. Don't judge the alcoholic. Let him come in and let him lift his hands. And I know he's got problems, and I know he's messed up, but don't judge him. Such were some of you, but you are washed, but you are sanctified, but you are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. So lift his hands up, encourage him in the Lord, because you don't know what God's going to do with him. Amen. See, I didn't know that Dad was almost never at home. And that little boy needed a dad. I didn't know that that little boy saw Dad beat up Mom a lot. And he knew what violence was because Dad beat on Mommy. And he was starting to beat on his little sister because that's what boys do to girls. That's what I saw my dad do. So that's what I'll do. He knew how to fight because he watched Dad. Dad would come home drunk and he'd hurt the family. Mom would try to lock the door, put a deadbolt. The door frame had been busted in many times. We had to build new door frames because Dad would get drunk and he'd kick the door in. And those kids watched that every Friday night, every Saturday night. And so if they're climbing on Mom and if they're a little bit erratic, maybe you want to take a closer look as to why. And I watched as time went on and the process of God got a hold of them. I'll tell you who I love. Let me tell you who I love. I love Sunday school teachers. I love them. Sunday school teachers, I love you. And some of them probably can't even hear what I'm saying. If you have Sunday school on Sunday mornings, maybe they're out there and they're teaching kids right now. They can't even hear what I'm saying because right now they have little barrels of corn that they're teaching. They have little plants that they're raising up by the power of God. And they have little snotty noses and little grubby little hands, and they have energy, and they're little kids scare me. I can preach to you guys all day long and we can have a move of God. You put me in front of little kids and I don't know what to do. They're like looking at me and I'm not funny. I don't know how to preach to little kids. I love people that can preach to little kids. And don't get discouraged and don't get heavy about it and don't get burnt out, because you have one of the most important jobs in the kingdom of God. You are raising up the wheat. You are raising up the corn. You are raising up the barley, and you're taking it down to the seashore and you're shipping it off and saying, Jesus, have your way in their life. You're teaching them about Jonah and the whale, and you're teaching them about the three Hebrew children in the fiery furnace, and you're teaching about David and Goliath, and you're sending them off. And what you're doing is you're casting your bread upon the water. You're putting the corn, you're putting the barley out there, and God's going to get a hold of them, and God's going to work on them, and God's going to transform them. Ooh, hallelujah. And there'll be a process. He shipped it off to the processor, and over there at the processor, they beat the wheat. They thresh the wheat. They have to separate the wheat from the stalk and from the chaff. I could preach a lot on that. I don't want to preach too long. But chaff is like a fuzz. It's like a protective covering. You can't eat chaff. Chaff has no value at all except to protect the wheat. And when harvest time comes, God separates the wheat from the chaff. Make up in your mind this morning that you're going to be wheat. Make up your mind you're going to be wheat. I'm not going to be chaff. How do you know the difference, Brother Urshan? I'll tell you. They'll take it, they'll thresh it, they'll beat it, and they'll throw it in the air. And everything that's heavy is wheat, and it comes back down. The grains come back down, but the chaff is fuzz, and the wind catches it and whoo, blows it away. And the chaff blows away, and the wheat remains. That's how you know the difference between wheat and chaff. Amen. If you stay, you're wheat. If you make it, you're wheat. The Bible says that the ungodly will not remain. They are like the chaff which the wind driveth away. If this world can blow you away, you're not part of the harvest. If people can tempt you out of the church, you're not part of the harvest. If somebody can talk you out of coming here and blow you, if you can get offended, if you can get pulled into the world, if something blows you out of here, you are chaff, sir. You are chaff, ma'am. But the stuff that falls down and remains, that's the stuff that God says, I'm going to make something out of you. I'm going to make some. Somebody make up in your mind, I'm not going anywhere. I'm not going anywhere. I need a Ruth spirit that looks at Naomi and says, wherever you go, I go. And wherever you lodge, I lodge. And your people are my people. And your God, don't tell me to go. I'm not going anywhere. I need an Elisha spirit to rise up and says, I'm going to Jericho with you. I'm going to Gilgal with you. I'm going to Bethel with you. If you stay, you're wheat. I see some wheat sitting on these benches. I see some people who can make it. You ever been tempted? You ever have somebody try to talk you out of living for God? You ever have something pull on you, try to get you out of the church? But something inside of you drop back down and says, uh-uh, this is where God put me. Uh-uh. I don't care how good she looks, I'm not leaving the church for her. I don't care how good he talks, I'm not leaving the church for him. I don't care how much money they got, I'm not leaving, I'm not leaving, I'm not leaving, I'm not leaving. I've got the Holy Ghost. I've got the Spirit of God. I've got everything I need right here. God's just working on me right now. And you'll go through some stuff. You'll go through some stuff. You can be seated. I remember the day that mom was in church. And the kids were probably 3 years later. Little boy's 8, little girl's about 6. And dad came to church. He was hungover. It was Sunday morning. And she was sitting there and she was listening, and the Holy Ghost was on her. Service just like this right here. And dad came walking in, walked right down the middle aisle. You could smell him coming from about 50 feet away. The alcohol was coming out of his pores. He was sweating. It was coming out of his mouth. And he was ugly and he was surly. And he walked down to that pew where she was, and he looked at her and he said, I was preaching just like I am right now. And I watched. She saw him, and the moment she saw him, I saw her eyebrows go up. And then I saw her head go down, and she just got up. She followed him out with her head down. And he walked out, and it didn't look good. I motioned to one of the brethren that was there, follow him, make sure she's okay. All I had to do was just move my finger. He was beginning to attack her in the parking lot, and the men of the church got a hold of him. We helped him. We encouraged that young man. That ain't gonna happen anymore. He looked back at, and one of our guys, he was a former bodybuilder, MMA fighter. And he looked back at the guy. He said, I'll be back. And the fighter said, I'll be here. Because we're making bread here. And it ain't like it used to be. This is a new life. This is a new. You're not going to hurt that boy anymore. You're not going to hurt that little girl anymore. You're not going to beat on mom anymore. God's got him in the wheel. God's got him in the process. And now If you're not man enough to stand up and be a man, there's men of God that'll stand up. And there'll be a father to that boy. And there'll be a mother to that girl. And there'll be a fence around that single mother. Because she's in the process. She's in heaven's. Hey, hallelujah. This is just where people live. We walked out after church, and he had walked over and taken a brick and thrown it through her windshield and left like a coward. And I came out, and she sat there. This girl worked three jobs, maybe $8 an hour, $10 an hour, some of them, 18-hour days. People in the church babysitting the kids. Anybody know what I'm talking about? It's part of a process. You can look at that and you can say that it's not worth it. It's hard. Just give up on them. But no. We're taking them down to the seashore and we're shipping them off into God's purpose. And God's got plans for them. Hallelujah. I got news for you this morning. God's got plans for you. Get into the kingdom of God. Let God get a hold of you. He's got plans for you. Young man, you don't have to wind up like your father. You can be full of the Holy Ghost. You can change the curse. You can be a father to a son. You can be a shepherd in your house. And you stand at the doorway and you look at the wolf and you say, you might have got me, but not anymore. I'm a full-grown man of God, and you're not touching my wife, and you're not touching these kids. Amen. 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 I looked at that windshield and I looked at her and she was, I could see it. I don't have the money to pay for that. I looked at her, I said, don't worry about it. The church is paying for it. We'll have your new window in tomorrow. She had a new window and she went to work and God opened the doors. And whatever the devil tried to destroy, the church just moved in and we were reversing a curse. Hallelujah. We were reversing sin's cycle. Amen. That's what God's people do. That's what the church does. And you could say that doesn't matter. I'm telling you, that's casting your bread on the water. Because I got news for you. New life, it comes back. It comes back. Those of you that went to the Peak Conference in Tulsa, Oklahoma, might not have meant much to you to see the singers up there. They have very good singers. And they'll sit there in their robes and they'll sing and they'll worship and amazing singers. Might not mean much to you, might just look like people to you, but the young man was right in the middle of them and he's moving back and forth and he's singing and now he's 18 years old and he's graduated from high school and he's going to a great university and he can sing like an angel and he preaches in the house of God. He can sit down on an organ and tear that organ up. He's a worshiper. And one day, that young man's gonna walk back in and say, remember me? I'm the one that you shipped out into God's purpose. I'm the one that you took the time with. I'm the one that you prayed with. I was just a little guy, but now I'm a man of God. Sunday school teacher, thank you for every hour. Thank you for every lesson. Thank you for every song you sang. Thank you for picking me up for church. Thank you for bringing me to the house of God. I didn't look like much back then, but look at me now. I've got his hand on me. I've got his spirit in me. And it is bread. It is bread. It is bread. It is bread. I'm closing. Musicians can come. Speak it. Speak it before it happens. Believe it. Don't you judge it by what it looks like right now. Don't judge it by the seeming impossibility of it, but speak it in faith. I want somebody in this room this morning to look at your circumstance and say, I could call it a broken marriage, but I'm going to say in the name of Jesus, put your hands on my family. it looks like my kids have gone crazy, but in the name of Jesus, that little monster that used to be my baby, I'm rebuking the devil off of him right now in the name of Jesus Christ, and I'm speaking faith. God, you're going to save my boy. You're going to save my girl. Speak it. I can remember having a young man, a little bit younger than these young men right here, probably about your age, probably about that young man's age right there. It's a little guy. We'd go out on outreach and we'd worship, and he learned the things of God. He grew up in church. 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, hit 17 years old, and temptation got a hold of him. He had some uncles that were drug dealers. They had big wads of money. They had big rims on their cars. They would flash gold teeth. They had a girl under each arm. And to a 17-year-old, that looked like big stuff. And I tried to hold on to him, but temptation was strong. Had a cousin that was kind of like a brother. His cousin was making more in 1 week than I made in a month. It's hard to tell a young man that he can't follow that lifestyle when the devil's talking to him. So he grew his hair into dreadlocks. He got gold teeth. His pants sagged down. He carried a 9mm in his back of his pants. And David became one of the biggest dealers in our city. He made a lot of money. And he racked up a lot of felonies. 20 felonies. 3 years. He was in jail all the time. This wasn't just some crazy young man. This was a young man with the hand of God on his life. Can I tell you that the devil's a liar? The devil will make it look so good to you. It is not good. It's a lie. And he'll get you a felony, and people don't want to hire you anymore. And when you try to go straight later, they'll look at your record and they'll say, I'm not going to hire you. And that's where David was. He got him a girl. He tried to change his life, but now he can't get a job. So now he's got a deal just to put food on the table. That's living in the real world. And it looked impossible. They busted him again. They gave him 6 years. He shot a woman by accident in a gang fight. She got caught in the crosshairs. David was shooting at a gang member, but he hit the woman instead. 6 years in federal prison. And I stood there in the courtroom. David, big David, had an orange jumpsuit on and big sheriff's deputies on either side of him. And when the judge pounded the gavel, said 6 years, he jerked against him, and they grabbed him violently, and they pulled him backwards, and they're dragging him out of the courtroom. And he's saying, Pastor Urshan, help me. And I couldn't help him. And it looked impossible. His mother fainted on the back row, cried out. That's life. And I thought David was over. But in prison, David repented of all of his sins. David went back to what he knew was right. God began to work on his heart. I began to give him books on the doctrine of Jesus Christ, and David started preaching the gospel in prison. He started baptizing inmates, dozens of inmates. Call me up. Pastor Urshan, we baptized 12 more. Can you send me some more books? Can you send me some literature? I'm turning it around. Pray for me, Pastor Urshan. I thought when the 6 years was over, it was going to be done. It wasn't done. David's immigration papers weren't right because David was from Haiti. And mom never fixed them. And so after 5 years, the federal government came and said, we're shipping you out of here. You got to go to Haiti, and you're never coming back. You're a felon. And they shipped, I'm talking to somebody right now. They shipped David off to a country he hadn't been to since he was 6 months old. He's American in his mind, but he's Haitian by his birth certificate. And they shipped, he's like a son to me. They shipped him off. And he got down to Haiti. And I thought, I can't reach him. I'm going to try. I tried to send money. I tried to help him. And he'd call me up on these scratchy cell phones. I'm still here, Pastor Urshan. And then he'd fade out and I'd lose him. And then I got news. I got internet pictures of David baptizing people in Jesus' name down in Haiti. Hold on. It gets better. We hooked him up with an apostolic missionary who took him under his wing, gave him a place to live. We got David a car. We took up offerings around the United States, got David a car. And then we got up rent and we got him a building. And David started preaching the name of Jesus and the power of the Holy Ghost. I went down to Haiti about 2 months ago, and David's pastoring a church of 350 people, yeah, baptized in Jesus' name. He had an apostolic symposium last month, baptized 12 Trinitarian pastors in the name of Jesus Christ. They baptized, they re-baptized their churches in Jesus' name. There's over 1,000 people now because a Haitian young man. Don't you give up on them. It's bread. I know it looks impossible, but it's bread. I know it looks like there's no way, but it's bread. It's bread. It's bread. It's bread. It's bread. Cast your bread upon the waters, and after many days, it'll come back. It'll come back. It'll come back. Somebody lift your hands right now. Somebody lift your voice. Ah, hallelujah. Hallelujah. I'm the merchant man, and I'm going down to the seashore, and I'm sending off young lives into the purpose of God. Somebody come. Somebody lift your hands. Somebody come and help me worship God. Speak it. Speak it. You don't have to have it all together. Speak it anyway. You don't have to know everything. Speak it anyway. I love you, Jesus. I'm not going to die. I'm not going to go to prison. I'm not going to lose my life. I'm going to be a man of God. I'm going to be a woman of God. In the name of Jesus. Speak it. Speak it. I'm speaking in faith. I'm calling it what it is before it gets here. In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus. I know I don't look like much right now, but wait till God gets through with me.